Amen. And I too want to wish a happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. God bless you. We wouldn't be here without you. So, really do. Praise all you guys are always the self-sacrifice for your wives, but you have to double duty today. All right. Double duty. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you that we can come together and worship you and just praise you. Lord, again, we look into your word and you're going to tell us things that we wouldn't know unless you would show us. And so, God, open our hearts to see what you're saying to us and how that you're speaking to us that transforms our lives. And so we just thank you for that. And so, God, we give you all things, anoint me, and I just speak things of the Spirit. And then, too, you would be open, each person be open to the Spirit. So we give thanks to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we're going to be looking this morning at John chapter 7, verses 37 through 38. John 7, 37 to 38. And it says this: on the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the Spirit has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now, it's very interesting as we've been kind of going through the Gospel of John, and I thoroughly enjoy. It just, there was a little piece of me, I couldn't wait to get to these two verses, because they're, you know, one of my favorites. And you know, I'm thinking, okay, just take your time, you'll get there soon enough. And so we come through, so we have these verses, and came and I said, okay, I'm gonna look at it and see the whole picture, you know, put it in context like we have. And then it was kind of interesting, and I've preached on these verses before, you know, talking about the Holy Spirit and stuff, so it's not like they were unfamiliar. But when I look everything around it, and we're looking specific, and I'm going, hey, there's a little twist on this that I've been missing. You know, the application that I made and stuff was appropriate. But when I looked at the picture, I go, I think Jesus is saying something a little different here. He's got a little different purpose for why he said this. And so I just want you to understand. So as we look at this, I want you to think, okay, no, there's really a specific reason why Jesus said this at this time. And again, y'all may have said, well, we knew that. Well, I didn't. So when I read through this, I thought, my goodness. Anyway, so it's fascinating as we look at these verses. Well, when we have been coming through John and we're coming up here, what we have, you know, is a little bit of review here. Jesus now has exploded onto the scene of human history and Jewish culture. I mean, he has come, I mean, he is rocking a lot of people's boats. I mean, he's come in just like a storm. And basically, you know, trying to summarize, he's told people that he is the Christ and that people who believe in him will never die. Now, that, you know, that gets some people's attention right there, but that's basically what he says. And so it's causing quite a stir in the population following him. So they're following him, and they're conflicted about what he's saying. Even his followers and the people are coming to check him out. And it says here, and we're back in chapter 6, it says that many of his disciples stopped following him. Sometimes we just skip over that. Think, well, Jesus comes and he reveals himself and everybody flocks to him. Sort of. But after a while, when he started making these claims, they thought, this is a bridge too far for me. I can't go here. I can't go here. And this is what people are saying. And people, hearing Jesus, stop following him. You know, it was just too much. And in fact, when they went away, he asked the 12, this is all back in the last part of chapter 6, he asked the 12, he says, "Do you want to leave?" That's right. Do you want to lead? You know, and you think, well, everybody's leading, and you want to get around, explain to them, and just, well, he didn't do any of that. You know, he just, they leave, and so he asks the story, you want to leave? You know? And so Peter goes, no, because you have the words of eternal life. So we're going to stay. Okay? But you see the dynamic. It's kind of an interesting dynamic when you look at this. And so we have from John chapter 6, verse 30, all the way through John chapter 7, people's convoluted statements and understanding about Jesus. I mean, that's over 60, that's about over 60 verses. 60 verses, and you ought to read it sometimes. You really, I don't know if you've read it before and you look back, and you might, if you read it before, you might ask, like, why is he telling us all this? You know, because when you read it, it's like, they don't know what's going on. They make this comment, they make this comment, Jesus says this, they don't know what he's talking about. People are leaving. People are saying he's crazy. You know, so you have this for 60 some odd verses, these convoluted statements. Now, he records it, that scripture. Now, I really think you should, people that are interested in people, how people think, you ought to read that. You ought to read that. You know, how many of you thought if Jesus would be here and then everyone would understand? There's proof that he was there and they didn't understand anything. You know, anything. And so, and it's funny when I look at this, this is just me, and I read about what Jesus says, he didn't help matters. I mean, he just makes more bold statements, you know? And so you go, this is a really crazy dynamic, but you see people and how they respond. Now, once you read it, you think, they acted just kind of the same way people do today. People have some of the craziest views of Christ you ever saw. You know, it's like, what? They don't know anything. I want to tell you something. They didn't know anything here when he was with him. They didn't know anything. See? Well, they don't know anything now. So this is nothing new as we walk into this kind of convoluted conversations, and I'd say that's a good word, is convoluted conversations. And then Jesus throws this in, and he goes, yeah, it says, I chose you, and one of you is a devil. You go, what'd you do that for? I mean, you could have skipped that one, you know. Man, this is not good, you know. But he said, I chose you, and one of you is a devil. And there's a note in the Bible that says he was talking about Judas. You know, I've heard people say, oh, Jesus picked Judas, and he never knew, and Judas betrayed him. No, you're not reading your Bible. You're not reading my Bible. He picked Judas, and he knew he'd betray him. See? Well, I don't know about you. That makes my head hurt. You know? But this is what's happening. This is the whole atmosphere that he's talking in these 60 verses. This is the conversation that is going on. Now, right in the middle of this, right in the middle, we can determine if there's nothing new under the sun and nothing new. I mean, they said that in the Old Testament. They didn't change there and hadn't changed. Nothing new under the sun. Well, God, these people are so, have such convoluted understanding you got to get through. I know. They've been this way always. This is not a new group. They always been this way. I mean, some people, I think there's some, and myself, a couple of these people may be a devil. Yeah, I picked them. It's like, okay, Lord, what are you doing? You know, what are you doing? See, we're panicking. You know, it's like, oh, man, we got, you know, do something. He didn't. You know, he just kept saying outrageous statements. You know, he said, no, it's me. come to me, you live. Yeah. But if this is this and going on, and he's unfazed by it. So when you look at this, it's hard to, you know, kind of get your whole arms around it. Now, in addition to this, at this time, throw a little background in it, the Jews were celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, we're going, who cares? Who cares? You know, but the Feast of Tabernacles is one of the feasts that God gave the Jews, and it's one of the three major feasts. So when they celebrate, all the Jews came to town. I mean, it said that Jerusalem would just explode with people. Well, this is when he is. This is when he's making these statements. So he's got a huge audience, okay? Because this is during the time of the Feast of Tabernacles, you know. So you've got all these people coming. Now, in this Feast of Tabernacles, they have the God has really laid out what you do at the Feast of Tabernacles. And I will spare you going over what that is, okay, the Feast of Tabernacles. But what the Jews did, like all good religious people, they thought, we'll just add to what God did. You know, we'll add some more stuff to it, okay? So they added up a whole new ritual of they getting water and carrying it, and they just poured out, okay? Now, the Feast of Tabernacles was to honor God for his provision in the desert wanderings. That was the purpose. So they honored him with the Feast of Tabernacles because he provided for them. The Jews said, well, you know, we got water. Let's just get some water and pour out. And so they made a whole new feast during the Feast of Tabernacles. So they're coming and pouring out water. Okay? So Jesus is here. Now, this is just me. I just think it's humorous. Jesus was there, so he's watching this thing. They're pouring out water. Well, he knows what's supposed to be. I mean, he was with God when he told them what to do. He goes, you know, I can just see him say, they're pouring out water. He goes, whatever. You know, he didn't do it. I mean, he didn't tell them to do it. And he said, if y'all want to pour out water, go ahead, pour out water. You know, and so they embellished this whole thing. So they made this pouring out of water up. So Jesus walks up. And what he says, he could have told them, say, you know, you're wasting your time. You're dead wrong. But he didn't. He came up to them, and he gets up in front of everyone. Now, he's getting a little bold here. Feast of Tabernacles. He's got all the Jewish leaders. So they pour out the water. So he just gets up and stands up in the middle of the crowd. I'm thinking there's maybe a platform. So he stands up. They notice him like that. And it says he cries out. Now, so it wasn't like, hey, guys. It was like, I'm not going to say what. You dummies. No, he didn't say that. Hey. Hey. Like that. So they're all pouring the water out. And he says, come to me. He goes, if anyone thirsts, come to me and drink. So he goes, I'll put a little exclamation mark on your pouring out of water. You did it. Now I want to tell you something. Come to me and drink. Come to me. So you can see people are already, you know, it can't figure out what's going on. And now he goes off and does that. He does that. And it's like, it's just like Dale Carnegie or something did to talk to Jesus about how to, you know, influence people or something. He's making a show and making a proclamation, you know. That. So anyway, you get the feeling and people are going, this is crazy. This is crazy what they're saying. Well, so you have this picture here, you know, of what's going on. Well, this is when he says this verse. This is when this verse comes out, you know. Well, I mean, the 50 times I've used it, I didn't use it this way. You know, I mean, I like the 50 ways I was using it, but I didn't use it this way. And you go, this is interesting. Because his point, he said, come to me and drink. So he had their attention. They knew that what he's doing, and they were pouring out water. They made this up for provision in the desert. He goes, yeah, you're close. Come to me and drink. That's what he says. Now, you know, Jesus could have said, come to me, I am your life and your sustenance. That's what he's saying. Come to me, I'm your life and your sustenance. So he is really interrupting their whole feast. He has a whole gathering right here. And so what I'm saying, and again, this is just me. It's like, okay, everybody's upset. They don't know what's going on. Let's get, you know, we may need to have a focus group. It'll have a little Bible studies. And we'll try to explain, you know, there. And he didn't do it. He didn't do it. He just gets up in the middle of everything. Come to me and drink. Like that. Well, who are you to say that? Who are you to say that? Now, this isn't the first time he said it, okay, but he's making a point. He's really making a point through this whole thing. And so what Jesus is saying too, and he's coming out and he's telling people, and again, these are religious people. Okay, so they have some concept here. And he's telling people it's more than just a belief system that we got going here. It's more just the belief system. He didn't come up and, okay, we got four commentaries you can read. And we have. He goes, no, this is more than a belief system. And what he's saying, what's coming out, is saying he's revealing New Testament transformation. We have the feast. We have this thing. We even added to the feast to make it look good. He says, listen, no, forget the feast. Forget your embellishment. Come to me and drink. It's transformation. No, there's no book to study. He said, no, you come to me and drink. It's transformation. You know, and until there's transformation, nothing's going to happen. Now, you know, they're kind of getting this. They're kind of like getting this. Like Peter was getting it beforehand. Where are you? You going to leave too? Peter goes, no, not going to go. You make it really tough, but we're not going to go because we know you have the words of life. See, they were getting it. Now, so this is what Jesus, and so we think, well, God just, he threw this all at once. No, he was kind of prepping. He never changed the way he thought. He was going, people didn't understand. So, and this is this transformation, and is coming to him and drink. He previously presented this to Nicodemus. Now, y'all know who Nicodemus is. He's a Jewish leader. He was a Pharisee. He was like one of the head honchos. So Nicodemus already has come to talk to him and said, listen, you know, I need to understand what you're doing. And so what he says, do you remember what he says to Nicodemus? You need to be born again. Nicodemus, he didn't say it, but Nicodemus, that's not what I ask. That's not the question I ask you. He asked a question, and Jesus goes, you need to be born again. I mean, he's like saying, no sense talking to you about nothing because you're not going to get it. You need to be born again. So you see what Jesus is doing? You see what's happening? He says, you need to be born again. And then Jesus went on and he said this to Nicodemus. And we don't have overheads for this, but just listen. So he tells you, no, you need to be born again, Nicodemus. Well, what else? Nothing. You just need to be born again. Nothing else we need to talk about. And then he says in John 3:6, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Nicodemus. Now what did you just tell Nicodemus? You're not born of the spirit. You need to be born again. You see? Nothing's changed. He told Nicodemus. Now, Nicodemus, and I just love this guy, you know, because he really is seeking, and he hears this, and does anyone remember his answer? God bless him. I mean, a scholar, he memorized most of all the Old Testament. He could spout off verses like crazy. Everybody looked up to him. Jesus, you need to be born again. And Nicodemus goes, you mean I got to go back up in my mother's womb? You know, now put yourself in Jesus. Thanos is talking to you, man. But you see what I'm saying? So Jesus is telling her, and nobody's getting it. It's not like he's not telling them. Nobody is getting it. They can't handle the truth. They can't comprehend the truth. They can't see the truth. But he tells them, Nicodemus, you need to be born again. You need to be born of the Spirit. You got that? I got that. I'll go back in my mother's womb, and it's like, all right. Okay, so here we got this whole picture. Now, so what's interesting, what Jesus is saying to them, he said everyone is born physically alive, but they're spiritually dead. A lot of Christians have a problem with this. Have a problem. You're physically alive, but you're spiritually dead. And we must be born again to be spiritually alive. Spiritually alive. And this means that spiritual birth is affected by the Holy Spirit. Amen? How does that happen? It's affected by the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus is saying the same thing. People can't get their arms around it. Now, we are not people, Christians are not people that just have a different belief system. And we'll just argue our system with your system. We're not people that have a different belief system. We are people who are alive. And other people are not alive. That's it. That's what Jesus is saying. That's the whole story. It's not a system of belief. Well, I want to argue, knock yourself out. Knock yourself out. But the problem is they're dead and you're alive. Might as well start there, you know, unless you just enjoy arguing. You see what I'm saying? And so it's really crazy. And the Apostle Paul preached this truth. I love this verse. You know, and you should have this in your mind. But in Colossians 1:7, Paul says this. I'm going to tell you a mystery. Now Paul says, I'm going to tell you a mystery. Here's the mystery. Christ in you. That's the mystery. Well, that's the mystery. We need a volume of commentaries to understand this mystery. Paul goes, no. Here's the mystery. Christ in you. And once you have Christ in you, you're alive. Period. You don't have Christ in you, you're not alive. You know, I mean, it helps to understand what's going on here. And this is what Jesus is saying. And the smartest religious leader at the time couldn't comprehend it. And he told him. Flat told him. And he just, and I don't think after that he understood either, because later on, God bless Nicodemus, he is one of the ones that stood with Christ at the end. But he never got it up until that point. So you see this, it's really kind of incredible. So now I explain. So after this, he talks to Nicodemus, and so he goes and runs across the woman at the well. Okay? Now she's not Jewish, but she's religious, and so he's sitting, he's talking with this woman at the well. And so when he talks to this woman at the well, he relates to her this life-giving experience about drinking living water. That's what he tells her. You know, it's like, Jesus, once you get to the point. Now he said that. He talks to her about living water. And he says to her this, whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. And the water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up into eternal life. Now notice what he said here. And he threw out something else when sin says, you drink this water, and in him there will be a spring of water welling up. See? And he told her that. I've asked you, did she understand? She didn't understand, you know? And so now he really rocked her world after this. He really rocked her world. And he said, "Hey, tell me, why don't you give him, get your husband and come and we'll talk." And she goes, "Well, I have a husband." She said, "You're right." You know? You've had four, and the one you're living with now is not yours either. And she goes, "I think the guy's a prophet." You know, I mean, it's like, whoa, she didn't get living water, but she got that. But the whole point of this, you're looking at, and people, we think, well, Jesus is here and he could explain. No, people wouldn't react any different now than they did then. No different. And you know what also they do? We know this too, what they do to him today. They'd crucify him. They would crucify him. See, nothing changed. Man, nothing changed. And so this is supposed to give us some encouragement here. Because when he said, "I look over, I protect," you know, because I know what they'll do. Because I've been there and seen that. Now, so what we have here, we're all coming up. Now, this is before he says this at the Feast of Tabernacles. He's already told people all this. So he's not changing his story. He's just keeping on saying the same thing. You know, people just can't get their arms around it. Now, so the gift of the Spirit, what we're seeing that Jesus is telling us, the gift of the Spirit is something experienced continually like a spring of water welling up within you. That's what he said. That's what he said, okay? Welling in you. Now, what Jesus told the woman at the well, now he tells everybody at the Feast of Tabernacles. He tells them the same thing. "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." He told the woman at the well. Now he tells every Jew present at the Feast of Tabernacles the same thing. The same thing. Now, how many of you would like to talk to Jesus and say, "You know, you could have elaborated on your story a little bit. Kind of helped them out. I mean, you kind of blindsided the folks here." No. Because they wouldn't have understood that either. I'm not arguing with them. You know that's what Jesus said? I'm not arguing with them. Why are you arguing with them? He wouldn't argue with them. You know? He says, "In fact, I am. I am the living water. You come to me and drink." Now, as we look at this, so we're back up to chapter 7. Aren't you glad we're back up to our verse we started with? We're back up now to chapter 7. We got back here. See, and so you see the context in which Jesus now says this. This is why he says it. You look at this, his purpose behind it with this huge audience. He says this in the middle of the confusion. In the middle of all this, this is my interpretation. In the middle of this confusion, this is what Jesus is saying. He's saying a few will come out. A few will come to me. That's what he's saying. A few will come to me. And those few living water will flow out into the confusion of this world. He said, a few. See, that's where he needed to explain it to everybody else. Because they ain't coming. And he knew they weren't coming. He knew. And he knew the people he chose. One was the devil. He knew he was coming. But he knew that some would. He asked his disciples, "You going to leave?" They go, "No." What did the disciples know? No more than these people right here. No more than these people right here. They didn't know who Jesus was. You know, but no, you have the words of the living God. Okay. He got 12, but one's the devil. See, a few come, and a few become streams of living water. A few. Oof. How many of you thinking, "God, you know, you could have softened things up a little bit and got more people involved. And, you know, you could have got more things going here. Couldn't you? I shouldn't say that, but I'm going to say it. I watch this on television. You know I watch this on television. I shouldn't be watching it, all right? But and I've shared it. But a newscaster, conservative newscaster, talking to Franklin Graham. He goes, why are you taking such a hard stand on homosexuality? Don't you see if you opened up about homosexuality, you could so extend your ministry? Ask you a question. Right here, if you stepped up, Jesus, I mean, you got a lot, 11 guys. If you'd open up your ministry, man, you got a whole audience here. You could really expand your ministry, Jesus. Same thing. It's the same thing. And it's like, I don't think he's going to do that. I don't believe he's going to pull that one off. Now, so here's the whole thing we want to look at. So, and this is the piece I didn't see in this. I totally did not see that in this. I thought, oh, this is a great teaching of the Holy Spirit, and I'd go off someplace else. But that's not why he gave it. Now, I'm making a point to all these folks. I am the one. You come. I am the one. And there's only going to be a few of you that come, and out of the few will come springs of living water, rivers of living water. Brothers and sisters, when we come to Jesus, we receive the Holy Spirit, and out of our hearts, said this woman at the well, swelling up, out of our hearts will flow rivers of living water. We have more than a belief system and more than a religion. Way more, see. And I have an overhead here. And I mean, I should have known this, but here's the overhead. Here's the summation of it. Christians, we become fountains of living water. We accept Christ, and we become fountains of living water. Because he said right here that out of his heart, the person who believes will flow rivers of living water. Who's he talking to? Talking to those that came to him. And he's looking at all these other, they ain't coming. But there's a few. And those few that come, out of them will flow living water. Waters. Jesus, he picked the biggest bunch of rat tags you ever saw in your life to follow him. Right there, at the beginning. You know? Why'd you pick him? He's a man. Yeah, but when he comes to me, out of him will flow rivers of living water. I just need a vessel that comes to me and out of him. And the difference in him is because of the living water. That's the difference. The smart guy, the religious guy was Nicodemus. And he's still trying to figure out how to get in his mother's womb. You see what I'm saying? I mean, that's the truth. I mean, don't think that Nicodemus is jumping up and down. You know, that way to go, Jesus. He's going, you can't believe he said this. You know, man, you know, Nicodemus can't believe he said it. You know, and Jesus is making a point. So 60 verses, and this is what Jesus has to offer to all this confusion? And the answer is yes. It's not a belief system. It's a life system. And you receive me, you drink of me, and rivers of living. He didn't even talk about forgiveness. He says you drink of me, and rivers of living water flow from you. Just a few. We had a friend, Mitchell will get a kick out of this, and I've shared him before, Bill Wright. And who was, he actually is one of these guys that says, you know, fewer, that he calls the people that are not so smart and not so, you know, don't have any status, and very few does he come of those that are the brilliant or whatever, that verse in 1 Corinthians. And so, but he does call a few, but most of the rest of them, you know. And Bill Wright said, he said, well, and just, I mean, you state a fact, I guess. And he said, I realized that I was one of the few of the intelligent, the wise that were called. I mean, he just had it. And the problem was, he was, you know, he was. He, and I've shared this before. He was valedictorian at University of Virginia. Went to Harvard Law School, and he went for Oxford scholarship. English. He was one of the smartest people in the world. And he said, I'm just telling you, I mean, I'm one of the few. You know, it's all right, that's it. So I just can't imagine saying, but he was. In the Bible, he said, it's biblically right here, there's a few, and I'm one of the few. I turn around, high five, me and him are good. And so he shared, I think Mitch is the one actually asking him, and he is one of these drop-dead messages you listen to and share. I mean, the guy was just off the charts, brilliant. Oh, he also said this. He said, the only book worth reading is the Bible. And he read it every day. He was the guy that told me, he said, you never leave your house till you read the Bible, and don't go out of the house until God tells you something. And so after about 4 weeks and not getting anything for God, I thought, you know, I got it. Linda goes, you need to get the work or something. No, I said, no. But he actually said that. And he said, God needs to tell you something before you go out in the world. I mean, this was his mindset. It was totally different. So here was this big bunch of people, and he shared this with. And again, I think it was Mitch. It wasn't me. He said, wow, wasn't that a message? And don't you wish more people would have been here? He goes, no. No, he said, there are only one or two that's going to get in. He said, why do you want more? Well, there'll just be one or two. He says, that's all you preach to ever. Remember that. That's all you preach to is one or two. The rest of them don't get it. Oh. You know, there's a basic, I mean, you know what Jesus was saying? He wasn't upset that nobody believed out there. He just knew who they were. He said, now there's going to be one or two. But those one or two, rivers of living water will flow from them. And that's who I want. That's where I want. So it's like, holy good gravy. Then you look at this. You come and accept Jesus. Do you have a better belief system? We get, well, yeah, forget it. Here's this overhead. You believe on Jesus, and we become fountains of living water. That's what makes us different. That's it. Now, sometimes we don't act like a fountain of living water, but that's us not. You know, they even approach that in James. In James, it says, listen, some of you, you're just spewing out hatred, and some of you are just spewing out love. He says, how can all this come out of the same source of water? That's what he said. He's going to stop it. You know, you're just spewing out the, you know, junk out of that well. You shouldn't be doing that, you know. So we have a little input into what's going on here, you know. But we're supposed to spew out rivers of living water. And we can do that because the Holy Spirit indwells with us. And this is like the first message Jesus is giving. But that's what he's saying. When we accept Christ, we become fountains of living water. Now, and we know he's talking about the Spirit because listen to this next verse. He said, no doubt he's talking about the Spirit because the following verse says this. Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given because Jesus had not yet been glorified. You know what that means? He hadn't been crucified and resurrected yet. So he knew they weren't going to get it, and he was crucified or resurrected. But he was communicating this message. Now, the Holy Spirit is a reality to every believer in Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit transforms us and flows out of our heart like rivers of living water. I'm a thief. I accept Christ. I receive the Holy Spirit, and I'll still be a thief. Can you? Can you? Oh, I'll throw back then. I'm a homosexual. I accept Christ, and I'm full of living water, and I'll continue to be a homosexual. Can you? Can you? There's nothing unloving about it. It's because we don't have a belief system. We have a system of life. See? It's like, oh my gosh, it changes us. Transforms us. That's the connection, and that's what Jesus was saying. That's what he's telling the Jews. Jews had the rules. Oh my God, you know, they had the rules. They had the law. Now, so the Old Testament gives us a picture now. The Old Testament gives us the picture of how the church is to function as springs of living water. Okay? So we shouldn't be surprised, because that God gives us physical pictures in the Old Testament so we can grasp the spiritual reality in the new, right? So let's look what God says in the Old Testament. I'm going to give you a physical picture so you understand how I'm going to function when Christ comes to you and you become spiritual liver streams of living water. You ready? I don't have an overhead. You may want to write this down. It's in Isaiah 32:2. He says this. He's talking about the church. He goes, each, if you have your Bible, circle each, highlight each, with each person in the church. Each. You'll notice it didn't put Wally there. It said each. Each. Okay. Each will be a hiding place from the wind, a shelter from the storm, like streams of water in a dry place, like a shade of a great rock in a weary land. That's the church in this crazy world. We're shade for those who come to us. We give drink to those who come to us for thirsty. Those that are just don't know what to do, and they come to us, you know, and we provide encouragement. It's the church. Now, Jesus spoke to everybody. Only a few came. You don't have to go beating the bushes for these folks. Don't go. I mean, we're going to say this is just me speaking. Don't go beating the bushes for these people. Because what will happen if you keep your mind open and see these people come beating the bushes for you? This world's not working. No, it's not. You worry? No. You see what I'm saying? We're all going to die. No, none of us are going to die. You can't say that. There's no hope. There is hope. You know, there, all of a sudden, it's like an oasis that only a few come to. But there needs a few to come to be living sources of living water to the other people so that they come and get a drink from us. How they come get a drink from us? Because we drink from Christ. And we become that same flow of drink, and people come to us and drink. By the way, that's good news. That's good news. That's good news. But it's Old Testament. Jesus knew this verse. He let me tell you about it, Nicodemus. Well, you know what Nicodemus said. See, he can get it. He goes, I love this too. And this reason I'll never ask Jesus the question. He comes to Nicodemus and he goes, you're a teacher of the law? And you don't know this? You know? Well, if he said that to Nicodemus, I know he going to say it to me. I mean, I'm just like, no, I don't know, you know, anything. But that's what he said. But the answer, you're a teacher of the law. You don't know. You don't know? See, you should know, because it said, where? Now, I never saw where. And Jesus could have said, why don't you try Isaiah 32:2? That'll give you a clue. give a clue, you know. But he figured he should have known it anyways. If I tell him, he probably won't even look it up. I must go on to the next guy. Now, each believer will be like streams of water in a dry place, giving life and encouragement. Okay. Now, I just won't grab it. Jesus has given us other examples of how this works. Okay, you start piecing this together. I mean, you know, Jesus knows all this. Okay, his issue is trying to get it through to us. I mean, that's a whole issue. He knows who we're supposed to be. What the problem is he's convincing us who we're supposed to be. You know, because we don't do what we're supposed to. We don't listen to him. And we have the full revelation. So you might say, and here's another example, and so you make an application here, but you make an application every place else. What if you say somebody comes and grabs you up and they say, you said you're a Christian, you stood up in Loudoun County against the school system, and they probably put you in jail because you stood up when they were doing the wrong. I can't imagine something like that happening, but it could happen, you know. So they put you in the jail, and they're taking you to court, and you go, oh, my God, what am I going to say? God tells us. He tells us. We have an overhead for this. He tells us. Mark 13:11. And when they bring you to trial and deliver you over, do not be anxious beforehand what you are to say, but say whatever is given you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. Your streams of living water. Just open your mouth and let streams of living water pour out. And don't even worry about it. Don't worry. Just open your mouth and let it pour. That's what he's saying. And that's what he's saying. That's what he's telling about the Feast of Tabernacles. They're pouring out water. He says, let me tell you about the water. You made up, but let me tell you. So we have this picture where God is telling us, and we should have a confidence. Don't worry about it. Hey, they're going to take me to trial. Don't worry about it. God, what am I going to say? I'll tell you when you get there. Don't you hate that? Do you hate that? You hate that. I want to know now. And I want to know the result. And I want to know. It's like, no. I'm not saying till you get there. When you get there, I'll tell you what to say. That's what he's telling us. Because it's not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. How does that work? I don't know, but open your mouth and try it in dealing with the situation at hand. Okay, here, we'll kind of wrap up with this. But listen, the fact is, what we know, the facts we know right here, that Jesus is telling these people about himself that's coming on, that's going to reflect the church. So the fact we have here, this is a fact. Whether you believe it or don't, this is the fact, okay? We are fountains of the Holy Spirit. That's a fact. Well, I don't know. That's your problem. The fact is you are. You are. It's to deny Scripture to say you're something else. All right? You are. Now, here's a good question. It's like, how do we get and let the waters flow? Or you think, well, how do I know? How do I know? Get the waters flow, it'll come. What do we do? You know, how can we be sure? And it's like, what do we do? Haven't you wondered that? What do we do? And I want to share something with you. I have really looked at this hard. Went through the scriptures, I've read through the, and I look, and I say, look, how do I know I get this, and then I'll say what I'm supposed to say, because you can't practice something he's not going to give you till you get there, can you? I'll practice this. Have you ever practiced, you're going to say something, you walk up, talk to somebody, and then they don't even ask you the same question, you know? And he's like, yeah, well, that's what God's asking. You don't even know what they're going to ask you. But you're going to be able to answer. Okay. How do we know and how do we initiate the flow of these living waters? And I've looked and I've found one thing. I can't find anything else in Scripture how to get the waters to flow. Like, you know, some people, I always thought, like, fog machines, soft music, you know, everybody hum, you know, get the Holy Spirit or something. That's kind of like embellishing the Feast of Tabernacles. You know, go ahead, knock yourself out, but it don't work. But there's only one thing. There's only one thing. Here it is. Ready? Rich, you have a drum roll? Ask. See, ask. I can't find anything anywhere in the Scripture other than this. Ask. In fact, one place in Luke, it says, ask the Holy Spirit, and he will give. It actually says it. Ask and give it. That one place. But that's even the only place where I just said, now, you have to ask. Now, you can go ahead and search the Scripture, your heart's content, help you find something different and help you or something. No, it's ask. You've got this thing, it's overwhelming, you don't know what to do. Okay, God, I'm just trying. You fill me, and you give me the words to go into it. And then you go into it. You trust, and you speak as it comes. You just ask. Now, it also says in Scripture you can ask for people to pray for you. Well, that's a good ask. That's a good ask, you know. Okay, but I'm just telling you here, God is telling us something that's incredible, beyond any physical need we have, beyond any, you know, threat we face. And he's telling us, listen, listen, ask. Ask, and I'll speak to you. I'll take care of you. Believers, ask. Just ask. And it says this, have an overhead here. Look at John 14:26, and we'll be coming up to later. John 14:26. He says this, the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your mind all that I have said to you. All right. Don't worry about it. We don't have a belief system. We have life. We have life. See, we went from death to life. Now, there's lots of study, and it says renew your mind and stuff like that. But he's telling people that are alive to renew their mind. Amen? Amen. And then it makes sense from the very beginning what Peter said. Faces all the people, the very, very, very beginning of the church. Look at this, Acts 2:38. It says, and Peter said to them, and Peter said, remember, Peter said, Lord, you have the words of life. We're not going any place. And Peter said to them, repent, be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sin. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You will become rivers of living water. Don't worry about it. You will become living a river water. Don't worry about it. Ask. This problem's overwhelming. Ah, that's like God likes these. Ask. Ask. All God's people said, amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that we see. This verse tells us we're forgiven and we become fountains of the Holy Spirit. We are forgiven and become fountains of the Holy Spirit. Mm. Lord, we just thank you so much. And God, you're telling us something we wouldn't know. You're telling us something the church wouldn't know. And Lord, and you're telling us this so that we can live the life that you've given us, that we can have a confidence in you, Lord, and that we can walk in confidence with you and not be afraid of the craziness that's happening in the world. And so we thank you for that in advance, God. We thank you for our forgiveness. And Lord, we thank you. We just hold our hands up and say, Lord, we thank you, dear God, and fill us with your Holy Spirit and give us wisdom, Lord. Lead us in through these difficult times. And Lord, too, we love our children and thank you for them. Pass this to them. They know they don't have a belief system. They have life. They have life. And they are fountains. They are fountains of the living water of the Holy Spirit. So we give thanks to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Ahem.